Welcome to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hi there, and welcome back to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's regular podcast. As always, I am your host, Craig Israel, joined by my handsome and intelligent co-host, Eric Krylo.
Who'd have thought it'd be any different in 2017, Craig? I sure didn't.
Brand new year.
Can't believe it. New year, new us. Is that what the kids are saying?
I don't know what the kids say, but sure.
I'll take it.
But yeah, first podcast of the new year. So before we jump into it, let's introduce the two very special guests we have in the studio with us. First, we have Madison Letizia, our communications department manager.
Hello.
Yes, Madison's a veteran to the podcast. You might not know that from the long pause after introduced her, but she's been here before. And a newbie to the podcast is Hannah Steinker, our social media coordinator at ThunderTech.
Yes, indeed. Hello.
So, yeah, let's talk about resolutions. Eric, any resolutions for 2017?
You know, that's tough because every year you think about, you know, whether it's maybe I'll get in better shape this year, maybe I'll stop telling lies, maybe I'll stop upper decking people, but I haven't made one yet. I just got to be honest and say that. I haven't made one yet myself. I have a difficult time keeping them. So I figure, you know, why fix what isn't broken? What about you? What about you guys? Anyone have resolutions to share?
Yeah, I have to cut back on the cookies. All the cookies.
And maybe offering fake cookies.
Offering fake cookies as rewards, because I never actually make cookies for the team.
No cookies.
But I promise them all the time. But that's my resolution, is stop talking and making and consuming all the cookies. So,
well, I'm looking to be more positive this year, so we'll see how the rainbows and puppies go for the year.
More positive, really?
Is that
a concern for you? Because you are just about the most obnoxiously positive person I have met at this agency.
We're just going to look for more rainbows and puppies. That's all, you know. Everyone can do it with a little more puppies.
So I can tell you that I'm going to try to eat healthier. And as part of that, my wife and I are on this ridiculous diet where we've cut everything out of our diet. It's fruit and vegetables, turkey, and fish. It's all I've been eating for the last 3 days, and it's been a goddamn nightmare.
I mean, speaking of positivity, it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of positivity in that.
So Craig is the opposite.
It's the worst thing. It really is the worst thing. No caffeine, no refined sugar. It's miserable. And somebody brought in, you see, there's a tray of like marshmallow gooey brownies in the cafe
the
this morning.
The top is amazing. The marshmallows are real crunchy. Yeah.
I heard it's delicious.
So do you feel better after 3 days of essentially eating, you know, air?
No, I feel terrible. I feel terrible. I'm told that this is sugar withdrawal, which may be because I'm a big fan of sugar. But no, it's horrible. There's nothing good.
Any ETA for how long the sugar withdrawal is supposed to
last? Yeah, it's supposed to last for like a week or so. Okay. And then, I don't know, I'm going to emerge on the other side better, faster, stronger, and, you know, amazingly clear skin. I don't know. My hair will grow back.
Yeah. So you're either going to feel 10 years younger on the next podcast, or you're just going to up and leave. Just you can't handle it anymore, and that was it. Needed the sugar.
Indeed. Okay, so speaking of resolutions, the reason we have you two in the studio with us is because you want to talk about a blog post that we published last year,
yes,
I guess,
yes,
about New Year's resolutions specifically for your social media content creation.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's that time of year. Like you said, everyone's promising to do better. We wanted to relate that to social media. It's a marketing tactic that people are either experts at this point, or they're just now jumping on to this kind of idea of using it for the marketing. So, you know, we have a lot of people in a bunch of different places, and we wanted to outline some of our favorite best practices along with some of our pet peeves of things that we can't believe we're still seeing. So we put it all in a blog post and talked about it in the form of resolutions for this year of just stop doing this or start doing this kind of format.
And so, of course, you can read the whole article at thundertech.com/blog, but we're going to hit the high points today.
Right.
All right, where do we start?
Resolution writing.
So to start, a lot of people, when they set resolutions, they don't often give ones that are going to be realistic. So you hear the crazy, I want to lose 5 50 pounds, as many as it is, and then they don't really focus on how they're going to get there. So it's the same thing for social media resolutions. You kind of have to start with a goal and one that you actually know that you can achieve. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you always have to have passion behind anything you do, and I think that's true for a personal goal that you might have or just something for social media marketing. So that is also a really important aspect of setting these resolutions. And then you also need to not be vague about it. I can't tell how many times we get told that we want to increase our followers or get more page likes or we want more content that's engaging. But they don't really say how much, by how much. Is there a number? Is there a percentage? Is there an actual shift? So that's something that has to be incorporated, just like losing an X amount of pounds or just actually creating more likes by 30%, 20%, that kind of thing.
So to that point, are there industry benchmarks or industry standards that folks could go to if they have no clue of what is a realistic goal?
If you Google that, you'll get someone who has written a blog post, you know, a year ago, 5 years ago, and they kind of give you their instinct of what it is. No one really publishes that type of data, but the way that we do it is we take past information on a client. We'll go through Google Analytics, we'll go through their channels, we'll find that trend, and we'll chart it all out and say, here's where you have been. And then we make a hypothesis. If we do all of these things in terms of tactics, here's where we could be at the end of the year. And that's how we recommend benchmarking. It's also good to keep an eye on competitors too. Don't want to compare. Everyone's jealous of the people next door. But kind of get an idea. If they have 10,000 followers and you already have 50,000 followers, you don't want to start doing something that they're doing for any odd reason. So,
well, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, if it would make more sense to look at your competition and what they're doing than compare to, you know, the local bike shop on mm-hmm. the corner isn't going to be able to blow up their likes as much as like a Nike, right, or a Reeboks can just
Absolutely.
Because of their exposure.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And just to be clear for the folks listening, when Madison says the folks next door, she's speaking figuratively. She's not talking about the Cleveland Exotic Dance, so. Which is next door to ThunderTech.
Exactly. So when you set those benchmarks and you have that plan, you also need to know what resources you have to go with it. So like Hannah said, you want to grow your likes. Well, how are you going to do that? What do you have? Do you have landing pages? Do you have a budget for ads? Do you have content creators who can consistently publish to those channels? That's kind of all in consideration when you're setting up your resolutions or your goals.
It's definitely really tailored to the client, though, at the end of the day. It's going to be different per brand, per person. So it's hard to set a benchmark without actually knowing the facts before you head in.
And I imagine that for a lot of the things we'll cover today, it is very client-specific and situation-specific. So folks listening in should be mindful of that as well. It's certainly not a one-size-fits-all
not at all.
Type of approach.
So let me go back for a second, Hannah. You mentioned having a passion for the content you're creating. So How do you make that work for, let's say you have a big operation and there's, you know, a bunch of different content creators? How do you pick and choose content that people are actually going to be excited to write about?
Well, you definitely want to look at your data. That comes by looking at all of your analytics and the insights on posts that are performing well. So maybe that's a post about a specific storyline about a product. So something that has a little bit more of an emotional aspect to it that's doing well. And then from there, you want to kind of inflate that. So can you run different media content with that? Can you do a video series? Can you do a couple media pieces or shareables that follow that same storyline? So it is a lot of data-driven decisions, and we definitely recommend that. Mm-hmm. Any decision you're going to make with social media needs to be backed up by some sort of data about it. But then passion comes in when you're looking at it by seeing what people are interested in, because if your fans are interested in something, then you definitely want to be paying attention, and that's going to make you more passionate about getting in touch with them and becoming more relatable in that aspect.
Right. It's like merging the right brain and the left brain, a little bit of art, a little bit of science, getting people to write about the things that they're passionate about too when it comes down to your team.
Right.
Try to find the creative aspect of that. So yes, you may be writing about what is a bounce rate, but can there be someone who puts a spin on that makes it more of a story that people can relate to? It's a little bit of maneuvering within the data, but it works.
So we talk a lot about data, and I know ThunderTech's a very data-driven sort of agency, but mm-hmm. in the social media realm, do you find that this is new, or people have been slow to adopt using, you know, not just gut feel, but actually real analytics when they're mm-hmm. planning their social media stuff?
Right. Gut feel has gotten us as an industry pretty far.
Right.
The channels, to a degree, when I say channels, like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, they've been a little late to the metrics game compared to where we have been in website data for years before that. So they're catching up. They're catching up, and if you paid attention in 2016, you probably know they had their fair share of headlines and scandals about, is this data right? It's misreported, and they're apologizing all the time. So we always have this asterisk in the back of our mind when we're pulling out this data is, okay, here's the trend that we saw, here's what we know. But it is getting better. We just have to remember that all of marketing has kind of that data issue. Like, how do you count billboard views? Yeah, it's kind of an abstract item you can't really count. But social media, for the most part, has a lot of data that you can at least track and monitor, and you'll be able to spot from there if you ever see anything that kind of looks out of the ordinary. So it's come a long way.
Definitely. I mean, like Madison said, it's a little bit more tangible than most analytics that you're looking at. But at the same time, there's still room for error, like you do with any type of scientific analysis of any type of content. So it just really depends on what channel it is, if it's up to speed. I know Facebook is probably one of the better ones, in my opinion, for getting there with analytics. But you're slowly starting to see those other channels kind of jump on that bandwagon. And they're improving. And they surprise me every day when I come in and look at new tools that they have to kind of figure out that data.
So do you think social media has gained in credibility because there are more analytics and data driving it?
Yeah, absolutely. Look at Instagram in 2016. They rolled out ads and made
and
everyone.
Boy, did I look at Instagram in 2016.
They rolled out ads, but at the same time, they rolled out tools for advertisers and general users, and it was the first time we saw analytics for that channel. So we're going to see more from Snapchat in the year to come along the same lines with their data.
And Vine? Oh. I have a lot. My entire savings account is wrapped up in Vine. So,
fingers crossed.
Maybe the revival. Missed that headline, but Vine has died officially.
Yep. And I'm not hearing it.
No sugar and no Vine. 2017 is not off to a good start for you, Craig.
I know. It's bleak. 2017 looks very bleak. All right, so we got a little far afield from the blog post itself. So in the blog post, you guys have outlined 8 steps to make some smart social media resolutions for 2017. And you don't want to go over all 8 because we got to save a little something for the people to come to the blog post. But yeah, let's jump in. Which of these key 8 points do you want to talk about?
Number 1 is all about going live. That streaming video, being in the moment, unanimously we agree on this, and it's number 1 for a reason. If you have seen anything with Periscope, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook Live specifically, if you've opened your Facebook feed in the last month or so, you notice there's an entirely new section just dedicated to video, and that's for a good reason. Everyone is using it, watching it. People watch more video rather than read. Apparently, we don't like to put in that much effort of reading 140 characters. We would just like to watch a video on Twitter. So thinking of that, one of the resolutions for 2017 should be to experiment, kind of figure out a method of what you would record, how you would record it, what you would stream, and start testing it and using it regularly.
So, Eric, where do you come off on live streaming?
You know, it's interesting because we live in a time now where pretty much everything everyone does is publicized anyways if you're on social. So now you get a bit more of an insight into folks because you can actually experience them experiencing what they've been showing you. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with that is, and as you guys I'm sure can attest, no one's really that interesting. And so do we really want to encourage the average Joe or the lower level brands to jump onto Facebook Live and really take advantage of that? I'm going to say no. Unless you really have something to show, to go live about, who knows? Maybe it's a new product release. Maybe it's a presentation that you want to broadcast to others, that type of thing. I'm all for it, but certainly not in the general public market. And I would even encourage some of the brands we work with to avoid that if they can and work to build up more of the engagement through posts. And then once they build a larger audience, then maybe they try and see, of all of these things folks have been engaged with and interested in, what of it could we push live or what could we and you know, get folks to tune in for.
It may be that I just don't have interesting enough friends, but I find live streaming on Facebook just annoying. That it's, I don't need to see what you're eating for dinner or I see you walking through the airport. But we're not talking about my friends. We're talking about brands.
We're talking about brands.
Let me ask about live streaming. Is it more effective if it's just an impromptu, hey, here's a behind-the-scenes peek at whatever, or do brands need to put some promotional effort into it, too, to make it a little more impactful?
I think it's impromptu, when I think of it like this, is always in quotes, because, like we mentioned earlier, you want to always know what the production process will be for it. Okay, you're going to be on screen, and we're going to talk about this. So there are some people who I believe could definitely wing it and make it amazing. And there are a lot of brands who could carry that. I'm thinking Southwest Airlines probably would be able to carry that, even though they plan ahead really well for their videos. The bigger brands could probably do that easily. But we definitely want clients and anyone unfamiliar with this type of technology and the way that they're using it as a marketing tactic to think through the purpose. And I definitely agree. You want to have something interesting. Is it an event? Is it something that's being unveiled? Those would be the moments, really, unless you're a publisher. By publisher, I'm thinking anyone from news and media like NPR or even how Facebook kind of tags itself as a tech publisher. You know, if you don't have something that's going out every day, you really don't have that content to share live streaming. But everyone has a little opportunity of something interesting every once in a while that they could use this for.
Okay, live streaming. What else?
Yes. What else? Hannah, what is your favorite one?
I think my favorite would probably be planning before throwing something at the wall. A lot of brands, and this kind of really ties into that nicely, like we said, there has to be a plan behind what you're doing in the social sphere. There's a lot of noise in the social media sphere. And if you don't have something worthwhile to say, it's probably best that you don't say it. So there's always room for practicing and trial and error because social media is kind of a game like that. But at the end of the day, you definitely want to be planning content. We see it 1,000 times with other brands where, you know, brands that we're watching will just be posting stuff and you're kind of questioning, well, why did they make that post about cat litter and it's a brand for a kid group or something that is very unrelated. The two don't make sense and you're kind of looking at it
thinking,
delicious.
I don't know.
What's happening there? But definitely, you want to have some sort of, like I said, back with data, you want to know what your audience is interested in. Mm-hmm. You need to see what they're going more to as far as Google search, keyword research. All of that kind of combines into one when you're pushing out that information. And you definitely don't want to have the approach of, sure, let's just try it. Let's see what happens. It's okay to do that with some things, but at the end of the day, you don't want to do that every single time because you're going to lose a lot of your credibility if it continuously fails.
Yeah. You'll lose your reach, too, on everything now that's supported by an algorithm.
Definitely.
There's no consistency.
Because people just tune out if it's not constantly engaging content.
Yes, exactly. So
what about, and I'm sorry to cut you off there, Madison, that's my fault. So in terms of newer brands, the concept of throwing things against the wall, and I understand that's very random, but to a certain extent, newer brands or newer channels or profiles sort of need to do something to get out there and to get moving. So what advice would you have for those folks? And obviously, you know, strategize, but what about something a little bit more specific in terms for that group?
Testing and risk and finding your legs in those initial days, it's very important, but it can all still come with an editorial calendar. What does that look like for a lot of our clients? That is a Google calendar that we share, and we simply outline the pattern and the repetition of ongoing content and what that looks like. So here's a blog post, but here's 2 weeks later when we're resharing that blog post. We call that COPE. You've probably heard it 100 times here on the podcast. And
is that create once, publish everywhere,
that
Madison?
That is. Ding, ding, ding. See, if I was still giving away free cookies, I would give
that would
a cookie.
Be a moment of that.
Yeah,
but and then I'd you'd be disappointed because there are no cookies.
There are no cookies.
Sorry, Greg.
So do you think people just jump in often on social media because the barrier to entry is so low, right? It's log on, type some words, and you're done.
Yes. Yep. I think the idea that it's still free is still out there. The 2010 idea of you don't need a website, just get a Facebook page, still is out there for people. So it's the low barrier. It appears to be free, which, you know, it is. But if you want to really invest in it, and that investment in time costs money too.
So make a plan, right? I mean, definitely not just social media. I think that's pretty solid advice for anything that a company might want to do.
So to that idea of making a plan and setting aside resources, what do you think is realistic in terms of, and obviously, again, it's different for everyone, but what would you say percentage-wise that a marketing team or a communications team, whoever's running the social channels, what percent of their day do you believe should be allotted for social?
There's a joke in there about asking marketers math questions.
percentage
of the time, it really does depend. Are you an entrepreneur and it's just you? Is it a team of 10 and who can do it? And these social channels follow you around on your phone. I used to say, back in the early days, it's just Facebook. Facebook's just starting up as a business. I'm like, if you can dedicate 15 minutes to just paying attention to what's on your page and the feed and just clicking things until you figure it out, that's the step. And I think that's with resolutions, it's the baby steps. You can't jump in and be perfect all at once, but you can set goals to say, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes and figure out what's trending and then find a way to loop that into my brand and how we talk about it. Those are the types of changes that will result in creating content that other people are interested in and your audience will grow from that. So,
to kind of step off that, I think a better answer for that too could also rely on the word consistency, because some people don't have enough time to be putting into social media and they don't have a team dedicated to social media. But a lot of it is just staying consistent, knowing what times are the best times to post, keeping that content instead of posting once every 2 weeks, post twice every 2 weeks, or not posting at all for 2 weeks. That's going to do some damage to your brand. So you want to keep the consistent pattern of pushing out content, managing those customer expectations online, and then kind of facilitating that back to see what you need to be doing in the next steps.
Yep. It's just like a workout plan. You say you're going to work out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, you have to check your Facebook page for 15 minutes every day of the week and just build off of that.
And I imagine the opposite could be true too, right? There's the social media channels could be so engaging. You could spend your entire day doing nothing but fooling around on social media and then neglect other parts of your business.
We call that the Pinterest effect. you're just there, and then all of a sudden, it's dinner time. Yeah, that happens. It's an endless scroll of the most interesting things you'll ever find, but you really have to focus on that you're there for the brand. So don't keep clicking.
I saw an imaginary trademark fly up in the air when Madison said Pinterest effect, so I'm not sure if that's, that's yours or not, but you might want to go out there and claim that.
Look into that. So what else do our companies need to know about making smart social resolutions?
Yeah. The days of only organic reach are definitely done. I think we've talked about this the last couple years. Organic reach is really hard to find. We're in that 1-2% range on most channels, as now everyone has introduced their own algorithm. So that means how you're seeing content, how it's stacked in your feed, it's all based on someone's math abilities of saying what you're interested in. So that affects how many times people are able to even see your content. So setting aside a little bit of a social media ad budget, and a little bit for any brand could be $50 a month, and using that strategically to either reach your current audience or slightly grow and target a new audience. There are a lot of different easy applications out there that you can use. It's all do it yourself at this point, and it drives a lot of traffic. If I feel like there's so many asterisks in here, we can talk about this all day. if you're targeting the right audience, then you can definitely drive some traffic to your website or the goals that you have in mind.
And there's a lot of retargeting tools, which is kind of neat with the social sphere, as that a lot of their algorithms are constantly changing. So then the ad algorithms are changing too. So they're looking to see certain demographics a little bit differently. And then from there, you can really get a niche of the people that you need to be focusing on or the people that you might not want to be focusing on. And so I think that's a really cool aspect that people are going to be exploring a lot in 2017, and we definitely recommend it.
So as we get in the home stretch of this podcast, the one that's the one point that stood out to me is break down the four walls. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys mean by that?
Yeah, if you are familiar with our trends book, we publish every year.
Of course.
Yes. you'll know that we talk a lot about integrating social media plans and our all marketing plans, but we want to integrate social media as well within your entire company. So Again, small companies, a little bit easier. Large companies, you'll probably have to build out an initiative to roll this out. But your employees are your best cheerleaders sometimes. So it's getting out of this mindset that marketing does marketing and that's all there is. The rest of the company can really get involved and carry your message too, especially if you have that compelling content that people want to share on your behalf.
Plus, it's really cool when you're working with these other groups to get their insight and their opinion on the social media channels. So whether it's, you know, hey, did you see that post and how did you think about it? Or if you're saying to, for example, one of the things that we did is we talked with creative team to create a really awesome Thanksgiving Day video. And that was awesome because I was able to work with the multimedia team on something that was a little bit more than just a generic post that had nothing moving. It was just static. So it was a little more dynamic, and I also got really good opinion from them. And then also because of that, they told their friends who told their friends who told their friends, and it kind of domino affected to get more people interested in the content once it was posted. So it's those little steps of getting other people excited about what you're posting, and then they're going to get their friends excited and their friends excited. So it's a really easy tool and tactic that you can do to get more buzz about your brand is by starting at the home base and moving out.
All right, final thoughts as we kick off 2017 about social media?
Final thoughts. Man, there are so many here that I'm thinking. If you could do one thing in 2017, I think it would really be set aside the time to think about your social media. I still see this either a bulletin board effect or this just throwing everything at the wall. Just take a couple minutes and explore what you like on social media and think about how you can apply that to your brand, because your audience is usually made up of the same type of people who are interested in the similar things. So
I think mine is just don't be afraid to be a human. I mean, people want to engage with humans online. They don't want to talk to a robot. And a lot of brands, I think, get stuck in that. So looking more to the emotional aspects and getting more real is definitely something that they should be looking towards in 2017.
Yep.
All right, that will do it for Thundercast for this time. As always, if you like what you hear today, please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. And while you're on iTunes, if you could stop and give us a review, we'd appreciate it. That would help us out a lot. You can, again, find this blog post in its entirety at thundertech.com/blog. You might have scrolled back a couple pages, but you'll find it. And you can always go to our website to learn more about our company at thundertech.com. Thanks for listening.